Welcome to Capital Baptist Church, and welcome to our brand new teaching series entitled, One Life. One Life. I'm so glad you're here today as we begin this new series. And right now I'm going to ask you to take your Bible and turn to my favorite book of the Bible, which is Philippians. And today we're going to be looking here in Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. I love the book of Philippians. Also, as you're turning there, I'm going to ask you to take out the study guide. There's a study guide inside of your program. And if you're new to our church today, this is a tool that I put together every week to provide for you to help you get more out of the message. So I hope that you'll take advantage of it. And I'm going to constantly be looking at it and referring to it myself. And you'll get a whole lot more of the message if you use the study guide. There's a few blanks to fill in as well. And so you can take a look at that. If you're listening online today, we want to welcome you to our One Life series. And I want to thank you for taking the time to listen today. And also, you too can download the study guide and have it available to you. Well, I'm excited about our series. I'm excited about what God is going to do in our lives as we talk about the fact that we only have one life. We only have one life. And it's going to be my privilege over these next 5 weeks to take you on a journey of discovering and learning how that you can maximize your life and not waste your life, not waste your life. And I thank you for being here today for our opening message as we talk about maximizing impact. Now, as we begin, I want you to think about this in our introduction. In a 70-year lifetime, an average heart beats more than 2.5 billion times. I want you to think about that. Now, I'm using the baseline of 70 because the Bible says in Psalm 90, verse 10, the days of our years are 70 years. In fact, the Bible kind of uses that as a baseline, but it goes on to say that God might grant you more, okay? But it gives a baseline of a lifespan, a typical lifespan being 70 years. 70 years. So think about it, in a 70-year lifetime, an average heart beats more than 2.5 billion times. This means that it beats about 100,000 times in one day. Just think about this, okay? I don't know where you were yesterday at this time, but I want you to think back to where you were yesterday at 10:06. Okay, where were you yesterday at 10:06? Over these 24 hours, this muscle in your chest has beat 100,000 times. That is incredible to think about. Now, that means that in a year, your heart is going to beat 35 million times, about 35 million times. With every heartbeat, time will pass on by that you can never regain. Our days are numbered, and each one that passes becomes gone forever. You only get one shot at life. You only get one shot at life. So here's the deal. Don't waste it. Don't waste it. Now, I love Psalm 90, and Psalm 90 is a really cool psalm. You know, most of the psalms were written by a man named David. Psalm 90 is different because it's actually a prayer of Moses. A prayer of Moses. And in Psalm 90, verse number 12, Moses prayed this. So teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. That is a really important verse to keep in mind. So teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. What's that verse saying? It's saying you got one life. You got one life. And you need to make it count. And you need to number your days. You need to view every day as an opportunity to do something significant, to do something important, to do something eternal with your life. And if that's going to happen, the Bible says you got to apply your heart unto wisdom. You can't be a fool. See, a fool will waste their life. A wise person will invest their life. They will maximize their life. They'll get the most out of their life. So listen, this is a prayer. Think about it like this. So teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. And what we're going to do these 5 weeks is every week I'm going to ask us to pray this as a prayer together, okay? I'm going to ask you right now, if you're willing, to join with me in saying Psalm 90, verse 12. And I want you to read it, and I want you to think about it as a prayer. It's a prayer I'm going to ask you to offer up to God. Let me read it one more time, and then we're going to say it together as a prayer. Moses said and prayed, "So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom." Let's pray that together. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. May that be our prayer, particularly as we go through this series. This 5-part series will teach you the 5 strategies to maximize your life. I'm going to give you 5 strategies that you can apply wisely to your one life. Today we're going to talk about maximizing impact. Next week, I'm so excited about this, we're going to talk about thinking big. Donald Trump, he said, "You got to think about something. You might as well think about something big." I think that's a pretty cool statement. Paul had the same philosophy. We're going to see next week. Got to think about something. I might as well think about something big. And if you're going to do something significant with your one life, you got to be a big thinker. Then we're going to talk about producing change. See, you're never going to do something significant with your life unless you are into personal development and you're a lifelong learner. You got to keep changing. You got to keep growing. You got to keep developing your life. And I'm going to talk about producing change in your life. Then we're going to talk about staying focused. Isn't this a hard one for you? It's a hard one for me. I mean, just staying focused, just staying on track. I mean, it's not easy to stay focused, but we're going to talk about how we can do that. And then the last message is going to be finishing well, just finishing well. And I'm going to try to get your mind on the end of your life and how you're going to finish your life. I'm excited about these messages. I hope you'll be here and hope you'll listen as often as you can to these messages. Now, in this series, we're going to do something unique, and that is it's going to be a study of a person, a Bible character. Now, his name is Paul. Paul. Of all the people in the Bible, apart from Jesus, I don't know of anybody in the Bible who more wanted to maximize his life than this man called Paul. And what we're going to be doing is every week we're going to be looking at this one life concept and these different topics through the passages in the Bible where Paul spoke of these different issues we're going to look at during this time. Now, maybe you've heard of this guy named Paul. Maybe you haven't. Let me tell you a little bit about this guy named Paul. Number one, you need to understand this. Paul was a contemporary of Jesus. You say, what does contemporary mean? Well, it means that he lived at the same time as Jesus. He was on the earth at the very same time as Jesus Christ. In fact, the Bible tells us that both of them were in Jerusalem at the same time. But there's no indication in the Bible that Paul actually ever met Jesus. No doubt he knew about Jesus, but he probably, from what we can tell from the Bible, never actually physically met Jesus. Maybe he did, but it's not recorded in the Bible. So Paul was living during the time of Jesus Christ. He was a contemporary of Jesus. But not only that, he was an enemy of Jesus. You know the first time we meet Paul, you know what he's doing? The very first time we meet Paul, you know what he's doing? He is actually killing a Christian. Killing a Christian. The guy's name was Stephen. And Paul hated Jesus so much that because this man named Stephen identified himself with Jesus Christ, he actually had him murdered. Murdered. He was an enemy of Jesus Christ. An enemy of Jesus Christ. But later on, the Bible tells us how that he became a follower of Jesus Christ. He moved from being an enemy to a follower of Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us in Acts chapter 9 that this guy, Paul, was walking down a road, and that road led to a town called Damascus. And the Bible tells us the reason Paul was walking down that road was he was going there because he wanted to get a document written up that would actually outlaw Christianity. He actually was going there because he hated Jesus so much, and he hated Christians so much, and he hated Christianity so much, he actually wanted to get an official document made that said it would be an illegal thing to be a Christian. Well, on that road that day, Jesus showed up, okay? Jesus showed up. And Jesus came, and Jesus spoke to Paul, and he convicted him of his sin. And the Bible tells us how that Paul was broken, and he humbled himself, and he cried out to Jesus as Lord, as Lord. He asked Jesus Christ to be his Savior and to be his Lord. But the fourth thing we need to know about Paul is this. This is so important. Don't miss it. And that is, he was an example of a Christian. You say, why are we studying this man? Well, Philippians 3, verse number 17, Philippians 3, verse number 17, the last part of this passage we're looking at today, says this. Philippians 3, 17, brethren, be followers together of what? Of me. Paul actually lifted himself up as a role model and said, brethren, be followers together of me. He actually told us under the inspiration of God. What does inspiration mean? The fact that God led him, that God told him to write this, and it became part of the Holy Scriptures. God led Paul to pen these words, be followers together of me. Follow me, he says. Why should we follow him? Well, in the front page of our notes at the bottom, it says, be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. The reason we should follow his example, because Paul was a great example of following Christ, of following Christ. So over these next 5 weeks, we're going to do what the Bible says, okay? We're going to do what the Bible says. We're going to look at Paul and his example and how we can follow after that example. Well, today we're going to look in Philippians chapter 3. We're going to talk about maximizing impact. Before we get into this whole passage, I want to read just one verse. One verse. Philippians 3, verse 8. I think this is really the center point of this passage. Here Paul says, yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung. Listen, that I may win Christ. Paul had such a passion for life. He viewed anything done in life outside of living for Jesus as dung. You know what dung is? Dung is manure. Manure. It's waste. It's waste. He's saying this, I don't want to waste my life. And he understood that anything he did with his life apart from Jesus Christ was dung. It was waste. It was manure. Manure. It was a wasted life. And he said, my passion, my desire is this. I want to win Christ. I want to win Christ. I want to do everything I can for Jesus Christ. Today, I hope that's your desire, to take your one life and make sure every beating of your heart beats for Jesus. It beats for Jesus. How can we do that? How can we maximize our impact? Well, in this passage, let's go to page two of our notes. And in this passage, Paul lays out for us how to maximize impact. Now, the first thing you got to do, which is so important, and this takes some humility, is this. You have to be willing to face your faults. You have to be willing to face your faults. Now, here's the deal. Paul didn't spend all his life living for Jesus. In fact, Paul wasted a lot of years of his life. And you know what? I'm the same way. How about you? I haven't lived my whole life for Jesus. I wish I could say I have, but I haven't. There's been times that I have wasted my life. Apart from Jesus Christ, I think it's fair to say that none of us can say that we've spent our whole life, every heartbeat of our life, living for Jesus. All of us can say, you know what? I wasted my life. And maybe you're sitting here today and you can say, you know what? My life has amounted to nothing. Or at least this season of my life, it's been a waste. It's been dung. It's been a waste. So what do you got to do? Well, the first thing it is, you got to face your faults. You got to just do what Paul did. He did an honest evaluation of his life. And here's the first impact principle I want to give you. Admit your sins and need for forgiveness. Admit your sins and need for forgiveness. Now Paul had to do this in a big, big way. Because for Paul, what he had to do was he had to move, listen, from living a life of having what I call a religious resume to living a life of having a relationship with Jesus Christ. Let me say that again. The big change Paul had to make in his life was he was living a life of waste that was focused on building a religious resume. And he had to be willing to face his fault. He had to be willing to admit he was wrong. And he had to be willing to confess it as sin. That rather than focusing on a religious resume, he had to live a life, listen, of having a relationship with Jesus Christ. You understand there's a big difference between being religious and having a relationship with Jesus Christ. Let me say that again. Do you know there's a big difference between having a religion and being religious and having a relationship with Jesus? But let me unpack that for you. Paul here begins talking about his life. In verse 4, he says, though I might also have confidence in the flesh. Now, what's he talking about? Paul is getting ready to tell us, you know what? I had confidence in the flesh, meaning I had the most incredible religious resume. In other words, he was thinking that to get to heaven, he had to do certain things. It's important to understand that religion is based on do. Having a relationship with Christ is based on done. What do I mean by that? It's recognizing that Christ did it for you, okay? That it's done. That's part of what this day, this special day, is all about. And he began to give us his religious resume. He said this, verse 5, circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel. Not only that, I was of the tribe of Benjamin. Not only that, I was a Hebrew of the Hebrews. Not only that, as touching the law, I was a Pharisee. Concerning zeal, how about religious zeal persecuting the church? He said, nobody hated the church more than me. I persecuted the church. Touching the righteousness which is in the law, he called himself blameless. Blameless. He started touting his religious resume. And some of you today, you have a religious resume. I've done this. I've done this. I'm part of the right church. I've been baptized. I take out the trash. I do good deeds here. You know, I do good deeds there. I'm a really good person. That's a religious resume. Paul had to be willing to face his faults and realize that's not good enough, a religious resume. That's not good enough. In verse 7, it says, but what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for who? For Christ. Those things that were gained to me, those I counted loss. And in that context, verse 8, he says this, I viewed all that as dung. I viewed all that as a wasted life. And he says, what I want to do now is I want to win Christ. I want to win Christ. He had to face his faults. Today, would you do an honest evaluation of your life? And maybe you need to move from being religious to having a relationship with Christ. Or maybe you have a so-called relationship with Christ, but you still have a wasted life because you're not winning Christ. You're not living for Christ. It takes some honesty to face this. Now you say, well, how do I move from religion to relationship? Well, Romans 10:9 tells us how. It says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be what? Saved. Saved from what, you might say? It's saved from hell. How can you get saved from hell? How can you go to heaven? Well, the Bible says clearly you have to confess with your mouth, what? The Lord Jesus. And you have to believe in your heart. Now listen, this is important. Not just that Jesus died. It's not enough to believe that Jesus died for you. You have to also believe that God raised Jesus from the dead. If you do not believe the resurrection of Jesus Christ, based on the authority of the Word of God, you are going to hell, okay? Based on the authority of God's holy Word, today is a big deal. It's a big deal because we are celebrating the crowning jewel of our faith. And that is that Jesus is alive. It's the crowning jewel of our faith to believe that Jesus Christ came out of that grave. And to be saved, you have to believe not just that Jesus died for you, but that Jesus rose from the grave to give you eternal life. You have to believe there's forgiveness, Ephesians 1:7, through the blood of Jesus Christ. So the question is this, where do you need to change? See, Paul was willing to make a change. Look at verse 9. He says, and be found in him. Listen, not having mine own righteousness. He says, not that religious resume stuff, which is of the law. But rather, I want to have this. I want to have a relationship with God in that it is through the faith of Christ and the righteousness which is of God by what? By faith. By faith, putting your faith, putting your trust in Jesus to get you to heaven. And Paul didn't stop there. He said that I may know what? Him. And the power of his what? Resurrection. And the fellowship of his sufferings being made conformable unto what? His death. Face your faults. Just face your faults. Just don't keep driving forward. Stop. Stop. And face your faults. I love that little statement. God allows U-turns. Don't you like that? Okay. You know, people, Christians put that on their bumper sticker and then they drive 80 miles an hour. Amen. Okay. I mean, that's why you don't see any bumper stickers on my car. But anyway, moving forward here. Okay. You know, God allows U-turns. God allows U-turns. And you know what? He will allow you to make a U-turn. Face your faults. Number two, forget the former. Forget the former. Verse number 13, Paul says this, forgetting those things which are behind. Now, Paul had a lot to forget. He had a lot to forget. And one of the things he had to forget was he actually had murdered people. He had actually murdered people. Just think about that. He was actually responsible for the death of Christians. In fact, when he became a believer and he came to meet the other Christians, they were actually afraid of him. Did you know that? They really didn't even trust him. I mean, this was huge. I mean, this was huge what we see here. This was a big deal. He had murdered people. He had hurt people. He had caused a lot of pain in people. You know what? Maybe you've done that. Maybe you haven't murdered anybody, but maybe you've hurt a lot of people in your life. Maybe you've caused pain for the people you care about the most. You can look at your life and say, you know what? I actually hurt the people I love the most. I hurt the people I love the most. For him to say this was huge. Forgetting those things which are behind. See, Satan wants you to live your life looking in the rearview mirror, okay? That's what he wants. And so many of you, that's what you're focused on. You have so messed up your life and so blown your life, you're spending all your time looking in the rearview window. A rearview mirror, okay? Can I tell you, listen, Satan has you right where he wants you. Because you're never going to do anything significant with your life looking back. Looking back. The impact principle is this: do not allow the past to control you to get today. Forgetting those things which are behind. I love Isaiah 43, 18 and 19 that says, remember you not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. A new thing. Remember you not the former things, neither consider the things of old. I'm going to do a new thing in your life. It's going to spring forth. It's going to spring forth. Question, what memory do you need to forget? Number three, focus on the future. Focus on the future. Now, it's not enough just to forget. You got to focus. There's a difference between forgetting and focusing. See, sometimes we can kind of forget and we kind of move past our past, but we don't move on to our future. Some of you are like that. You've done pretty good at moving past your past, but you know, you're not really focused too much on what's ahead. And Paul put it this way in verse number 13. He said, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth. What are you reaching forth? See, one life means you're reaching. You're reaching. You're reaching. You're reaching forth, listen, to what's ahead of you, okay? What's ahead of you? You're reaching out. That means you've got dreams. That means you have goals. That means you have ambition in your life. You're focusing on the future. Now, the impact principle here is this: discover and do the will of God. Discover and do the will of God. You say, give me a definition of a life of impact. Here's the definition: doing life in the will of God. You say, give me a definition of a wasted life: doing life outside of the will of God. You say, well, what is the will of God? Well, begin with the Word of God. You know, so many people spend so much time focused on other stuff, trying to figure that out, that they neglect the very will of God here. Amen? I'm telling you, you can spend a lifetime just doing this right here, okay? Just doing what the Bible says. The Word of God is the will of God. What God has told you in His Word is God's will for your life. And what we got to do is we got to reach forth. We got to reach forth and we got to reach forth to do what God wants us to do. We need to pray Colossians 1:9. We need to pray that we'll be filled with the knowledge of His will. We need to pray we'll be filled with the knowledge of His will. Question, are you focused on doing the will of God? Are you focused on doing the will of God? Ephesians 5, 15 through 17 tells us we need to walk not as fools, Don't walk like a fool, but be wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. You don't have much time. You don't have time to waste. Wherefore, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Be focused on your future. Be focused on what's ahead. You know, make some goals. Have some ambition about you. You know, have some dreams about you. You know, do it. Do it. Do it. Reach forth. Reach, reach, reach. Do something with your life. Do something with your life. Number four, fight to the finish. Fight to the finish. Boy, this one's a big one. It says, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Now, this word press is a really cool word, okay? And it implies the idea that you're like pushing, and while you're pushing, it's kind of pushing back. That's called life, right? That's called life. Life is not easy, okay? And when you're pushing, yesterday when I was at the gym, one of my favorite exercises is the bench press. Now, there was a time when I could bench press over 300 pounds, okay? Today, I can't bench press over 300 pounds. I'm not going to tell you how much I can do, okay? But I take a weight, and I do 15 reps, okay? And I get on that bench press. I don't have a lot there. I love the bench press because you know what? If I don't push this, I'm going to die, okay? Because I don't work out with anybody. I mean, to me, it's really cool, okay? Like, I'm thinking, okay, if you don't push this, you're going to die, okay? So do you want to die? Do you want to push it up, okay? And you're sitting there, and you're on that bench, and you're just pushing, 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 and the whole time you're pressing, and it's pressing back. That's kind of the word that's used here. And that's what life is like. Life is hard. Life is tough. Life's not fair, okay? It's not fair. It really isn't fair. And we have to realize that if we're going to do something with our life, this one life we have, we got to follow this impact principle, and that is to never quit. To never, never quit. Never quit. Paul says, I am pressing. I am pressing. 2 Timothy 2:3 says, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. There's a handful of verses in the Bible I can fairly say I almost think of every day. One of these days I might do a series called Verses I Think About Every Day. And one of those verses I think about almost every day, because 2 Timothy 2:1-6 is kind of the theme passage of my life, okay? 2 Timothy 2:1-6. So I think about that whole passage a lot, but I especially think about verse number 3 where it says, thou therefore endure what? Hardness. As a what? Good soldier of Jesus Christ. The Bible says we have to endure the hardness of life. We actually have to endure the hardness of life. And a lot of us, because of the hardness of life, end up quitting, end up throwing in the towel. And what we have to do is we have to rise up and realize if we're going to do something with our one life, we can never quit. We have to keep pressing, 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 pressing. Right now I'm writing another book. Some of you know I wrote a book called Bod for God. And now I'm writing another book, and the publisher asked me to write a book on health for men. It's going to be a men's book for health. Now I want you to pray about this project because, number one, the average man reads one book a year. And I can assure you they're probably not going to read a book about health, okay, in that one book, okay? So this could turn out to be the world's worst-selling book, but I don't believe that's going to happen. I believe God's got his hand on it, okay? Now, it's going to be kind of a book that It's kind of my style, kind of an in-your-face, kind of a humorous approach. The name of the book is Get Off the Couch, You Lazy Bum. Okay, that's the name of the book, okay? Get Off the Couch, You Lazy Bum. Now, it's going to have, football, because I'm kind of a football guy, played football and things like that, kind of football throughout. Now, the reason I'm saying all that is I've been reading a lot of quotes about these things, these different topics. And some of the quotes I was looking at this week, I want to read right now because they fit right with this idea here. Now, you got to know about Paul. Paul loves sports, okay? And he said a lot about sports and used that analogy a lot. But let me just read to you some of these what I call never quit quotes. Okay, Vince Lombardi. Now, Vince Lombardi coached the Green Bay Packers, okay? And he's my second favorite coach of all time. My favorite coach of all time is Joe Gibbs. My second favorite coach was Vince Lombardi. And Vince said this. He said, the real glory is being knocked to your knees and then coming back. That's real glory. You've been knocked to your knees? Been knocked to your knees? The real glory is being knocked to your knees and then coming back. That's real glory. Tom Landry, who said this, he said, setting a goal is not the main thing. It is deciding how you will go about achieving it. Now, this is the last part I want to focus on. And staying with that plan. Setting a goal is not the main thing. Yeah, you got to set a goal. But he says, deciding how you will go about achieving it, and here's the kicker, staying with the plan. Staying with the plan. Staying with the plan. That's called never quitting. Staying with the plan. And there's many more here. The point is this, you got to endure the hardness. If you're going to do something with your life, people that I have met in my life who have made the greatest impact in life, every one of them have something in common. They've suffered a lot. They've gone through a whole lot to get where they are in life. The question is this, do you have tenacity? The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15:58, now I want to pause here, and we're going to wrap it up real quick after this, but I want to pause here and drill down a little bit on this passage. At the bottom of page 3, 1 Corinthians 15, and the last verse in that chapter is verse 58. Now, what is significant about 1 Corinthians 15? The answer is it's called the resurrection chapter in the Bible. The resurrection chapter in the Bible. You know that thousands and thousands and thousands of preachers today all over this world have actually made this 1 Corinthians 15 their text for the day. I've done it before on Easter because it's a great text to look at on Easter because it's the resurrection chapter in the Bible. Let me lay it out for you. Paul begins by saying this. He says, I want to tell you about the gospel. 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4. The gospel. Gospel means good news. He says the good news is that Jesus died for our sins, that he was buried. And on the third day, listen, he rose from the grave to give us eternal life. He calls that the gospel. He calls that the good news. And just as if he heard the voices of people who would say it's impossible for someone to come out of the grave once they've died, he goes and says, you know what? He did resurrect. And one of the ways we know that he resurrected was lots of people saw him after he resurrected. In fact, one of the passages says actually 500 people saw him at one time. 500 people saw him at one time. Not only that, others saw him. And then he begins to say this. He says, you know what? If it wasn't for the resurrection of Christ, we don't have faith. He says we have an empty faith. And he said that I have nothing to preach about. Nothing to preach about if Jesus didn't come out of that grave. He says it's a big deal. And then he begins to talk about the new body and the resurrection body. And it's really a powerful passage. And at the end of that chapter, here's what it says. He says, therefore. Now, when you say therefore in the Bible, what are you supposed to ask? What's it therefore? Okay? Right? You don't ever see a therefore in the Bible without saying, what's it therefore? And he's pointing back to verses 1 through 57. In verse 57, he says, oh, death, where is thy sting? Oh, grave, where is thy victory? He says, the sting of death is sin. And he unpacks that whole deal. And he says, therefore, because Jesus is alive, be what? Steadfast. Be steadfast. Don't quit. Be unmovable. Be unmovable. Don't budge an inch and waste your life. Be unmovable. Listen to this. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. Always, 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 always be abounding. I love that word, abounding. That means putting everything you got into it. Abound in the work of the Lord. Do it with passion. Do it with fervency. Give it your all. God's work deserves the best. I love what Paul said in verse 8 we read earlier. He's talked about the excellency that's in Christ Jesus. Man, if you do something for Jesus, do it in an excellent way. Don't do anything half-hearted for Jesus. It's the excellency that's in Christ Jesus. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. And here's the deal. Your labor, it's never in vain in the Lord. It's never empty in the Lord. Praise God. Fight to the finish. Fight to the finish. And then lastly, on the back of our notes, follow the framework. Follow the framework. You say, what do you mean by that? Well, God's given us a framework to work within. And what that's called is the Bible. And so the principle here, the impact principle here is to indeed obey the word of God. And I like Paul's attitude that he expresses in this verse. In verse 15, he says, let us therefore as many be perfect, be thus minded. Now, what I like about this is I think a lot of times we waste our life when we have this attitude. Well, you know, we're all sinners and we're all going to mess up and we're all going to do things we shouldn't do. And you know what? Theologically, that's correct. But a person who wants to do something with their one life doesn't do life that way. They are thus minded, thinking in terms of, I want to do it right. I want to be perfect. Now, will you ever be perfect? No. But when you sin, you don't have this fatalistic attitude. Well, we all sin. You have an attitude that says, oh, God, I've sinned. Oh, God, I wasted that part of my life. Oh, God, forgive me. Forgive me. I mean, you burn with a passion to win Christ. To win Christ. And you want to follow the framework. You want to follow the word of God. Are you obeying the word of God? James 4 tells us, verse 14, whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. See, life is uncertain. You don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. Life is short. It says that life is a vapor. It appears for a little time and then poof, it's gone. It's gone. It's gone. It vanishes away. Life is a gift. I mean, these people were saying in verse 13, we're going to go here, we're going to go there, we're going to do this, we're going to do that. God says, let me tell you something. If the Lord will, if the Lord will. What does that mean? That every day is a gift. Every day is a gift. You know, people have already died this morning. Somewhere. I don't know anybody personally that died, but I guarantee you they're dead bodies. I guarantee you right up the street at Fairfax Hospital, I wouldn't be surprised right now if there's an ambulance pulling in right now with a dead body in the back. You say, why do you want to bring up stuff like that on Easter? Well, I'm not sure why I brought that up myself. But the point is, you know, it's a gift that you're sitting here, okay? It's a gift. God gave you another day. It's a gift. And if the Lord will, you're going to live today. And if the Lord doesn't will, you won't live today. So therefore, verse 17, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is what? It's sin. It's sin. You say, I've been wasting my life. I've been sinning. I know to do good, but I haven't been doing it. What do I need to do? Well, you just rewind the study guide. You come back to number one. You face your faults. You say, you know what? I've wasted my life. And you face it. And you ask for forgiveness from God. You forget the former. You forget what's behind. Listen, you go for your future. You reach forth to what's ahead. And listen, you never quit. You got to hang in here, okay? Never quit. And then you got to say, okay, I'm going to follow the framework. I'm going to follow the word of God. Are you maximizing your life? Only one life, so soon it will pass. And only what is done for Christ will last. Paul said everything outside of Jesus was dung. It was waste. He said, I want to win Christ. I want to win Christ. Father, we love you. We thank you so much for Paul. Thank you for the example that he is to us, Lord. God, our desire today is to win you. With every head bowed and every eye closed today, do you need to get rid of your religious resume today? Do you need to have a relationship with Jesus? If that's your need today, confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that Jesus was raised from the dead and you can be saved. Just talk to him.